Welcome to Horse Speak Chronicles, a journey of getting to know horses outside the box. Join us as we see horses from their worldview as prey animals, but with the same social needs as us. I'm Laura Wilsey, co-creator of Horse Speak, here with my co-host PJ Rossi, who is a Horse Speak educator, practitioner, and cohort. The Horse Speak team is on a mission of educating people about horses based on repeatable and learnable and teachable observation skills and body language mechanics. Welcome today, PJ. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura. It's so nice to be here with you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm excited about the topic that we decided to talk about today, which is what is zero and why is it important for a human and a horse? And so to start us off, this word zero doesn't mean anything to you right in this moment. But Sharon has decided through the teaching of Horse Speak, one of the things that she noted that would be is so important to the students is to understand inner calm. And so instead of saying, let's be inner calm or be calm, she decided to use a number which doesn't have any relation to the word calm. So therefore it's a neutral word. We're starting at ground zero. So it's been interesting to just have this one label with this numerical value to be able to talk about this giant concept of being calm on the inside. So there's this way that when we live our life, right? We have so many different activities that go through every single moment of every day. And some of them are fun. Some of them might be sad. Some of them might be a fast pace. And the thing that we need to recognize is that our nervous system is having different reactions to every single circumstance. And there's a whole big rabbit holes that we can jump down and talk about polyvagal theory, and we can talk about resiliency. We can talk about many different things that can help us truly understand this topic. But in the meanwhile, I think for most of us, we could realize, I have to pay. This is always a hot topic for people. I have to pay my taxes. That can cause a little bit of stress inside of our body, right? So, or even the word money can have, it can give us a loaded feeling, whatever our relationship to money is. And so noticing those changes from moment to moment is part of understanding what zero or inner calm is within ourselves. And in relationship to a horse, it's fascinating because we can have different reactions to different horses when our nervous system gets close to their nervous system. And depending on what you might have experienced with an individual horse could also be playing in the background. And you might have some preconceived notions about this horse. The last time we rode, he bucked me off. And so then if you were not able to process that information, that experience, your nervous system can still be holding on to that experience.
Absolutely. I think I love what you said about it being a focused feeling. I like to think of zero as being having awareness, complete awareness. We're really present in the moment and having a focused calm. A lot of concepts about zero are nothing. Like you said, it's kind of ground zero or a baseline. And it absolutely is a baseline of sorts, but it's a baseline for our nervous system to be able to return to and be able to process well in that moment to respond appropriately rather than react. I think when we're out of a state of zero, we tend to have reactions rather than responses. And this is what we see from our horses too, when they have a level of anxiety about something, whether it's a trigger of some sort or just a lack of clarity, and their anxiety comes up, then they're not in the most focused, aware place to be able to respond. And that's where we have reaction type behaviors happen.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the things that we can practice for ourselves, is to practice our reactivity in moment to moment, mundane things that are happening. Like, the coffee maker won't work today. I don't know why. Or sound check. Why is the microwave not working in our sound check? Why is the microphone not working today? I can't hear you. You can't hear me. How do we keep from escalating internally with these experiences?
Exactly. And I think that's why zero is so important. Understanding what our own bodies feel like at zero, at a level of awareness and focused calm, so that when we feel ourselves coming out of that level of being able to respond, and we lose a little bit of focus in how we need to think and process through a possible problem or just a situation, we can do that better if and when we're at zero. And I think modeling that for our horses helps them to find and stay in a lack of anxiety and be able to stay in a focused place so that they can respond and not react.
Yes. And that's the thing, that it's a little bit, I mean, horses are amazing, and it's so interesting to, because we can go down, like I said, rabbit holes about different things, and like how horses are mirroring us. They're mirroring our body and how we're moving. A lot of times, if you have a stiff back, your horse might also have a stiff back, because that's what they're mirroring. They're mirroring, hey, I'm going to join you in your stiffness today. And likewise, they also join us in our stress. And so, yeah, they can. And it's like, if you show up after work and you just had a big meeting with your boss or what have you, or just got off the phone and someone passed away, and you haven't been able to filter that through to be like, I see myself, I see that this has really caused me a problem in my nervous system, and you show up to your horse that way, then they can also, they'll be mirroring that stress. And we had this experience that was so fascinating. We were actually working with a dysregulated horse in a stall, and he was really having a challenge with being in the stall and having regulation. He was asking the pony that was next door to him was helping him regulate. The pony was checking in, he was breathing, he was doing a lot of different body language to help this horse calm down. And so what we do sometimes with a horse who is dysregulated, we do have them within a small area, like a stall, and we had a group of folks come and greet the horse. And so we had three people greet, and it was really awesome to see this horse like literally pinning his ears, lunging, like I'm so defensive, to being like ears forward, paying attention, having a really nice greeting. And then another lady who actually had met him the day before came up to him. And one of the things that we did was, because he was eating hay, we went knock, knock, you know, on the wall to be like, hey, can I have your attention? And so she came up and like knocked, knock, knock, like really aggressively. And then we were like, whoa, that's kind of interesting. And then he like threw his head up, and then he pinned his ears, and he was like, kind of went to lunge at her a little bit. And it was so fascinating, because we were all surprised by that response, both from him and also the intonation of like the knocking that the gal had, and how she was like greeting him was more like, you know, a little bit aggressive. And she did disclose the following day, after she was able to process, that she had just found out previous to that moment that her brother-in-law, excuse me, had passed away. She had just gotten a phone call from her sister. Mm-hmm. And so she had all those emotions inside of her, and she brought that to this dysregulated horse, and he's like, whoa, I'm not able to help. Like, I can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was really interesting. And she was like, she realized, she's like, oh my gosh, that was me. I did that. I wasn't paying attention to myself. I didn't realize I was pounding on the stall door. I didn't realize that I had all this energy flowing around. And she was like, I went and she apologized to him. That's because great. She's like, it's, you know, one of our mottos is, and it's hard to say it because we have to look in the mirror. It's not your horse, it's you. You have to really be like, what did I bring to the table to this situation? Did I not realize that my nervous system was triggered?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, and it's not, we're not going to be perfect. And that's the thing. I think that, you know, as we evolve in this journey of learning and understanding horse speak, is that we can learn to have build our window of tolerance. We can learn once we have that reflection on ourselves of like, wow, that experience really hit me below the belt. I need to go and take a walk. I need to breathe. I need to do some re-regulating activities. So therefore I can show up and be present in the moment right now.
I think what you were talking about, Laura, too, is when we become aware of that, and sometimes it, we do have to go away to find some level of calm or re-regulation for us to realize how out of regulation we were. And if we can do that with curiosity and not with judgment on ourselves,
absolutely,
because that also does not help us find or maintain a zero when we're judging ourselves for not being good enough, either in the eyes of another human or in the eyes of our horse. I mean, we think that oftentimes when we start to learn more about the equine's nonverbal language, a lot of us have had, you know, some guilt about how we were with horses and maybe our present horse prior. And that's not fair to anybody. It doesn't help anything. What matters is right now and moving forward. And so if someone feels like, oh, gee, you know, I really did not have my zero and I probably should not have been in my body as big as I was, or as in my energy as big as I was, or in my voice or my gestures as loud as I was, that's actually a good thing because awareness is happening. And to be aware of a zero, we have to be aware of when we're not in zero. And to come to that with curiosity and to try and find, okay, when did I have it and when did I begin to lose it? And just having the awareness of that means that you're really on a good path to, and it's not a straight path, right? It's like this. And sometimes it has hills up and down and it goes left and right. And we get off the path a little bit and we start to think about, you know, like you had said, something that happened minutes, hours, or days prior. And we start to lose our own level of zero. But when we become aware of that, just practice awareness, we can remain in zero more often. And it helps also, I think, to observe horses. I mean, all this is about observing their own language, their own body language markers of anxiety and decompression. And not that zero is completely escalation of anxiety or they're recouping through decompression, but it is part of it. And because we can't have that awareness and focused calm if we're in a state of not being aware of the normal changes within our emotional states. And you were mentioning also that this person had just had a phone call and then came right in to the horse who was quiet in the moment. He was finding some zero. He was finding a way to be able to lower his head and eat hay, rest and digest, rest and repair, which is part of decompression. And it sounds like she came in with really big energy and interrupted that.
Yes.
Which, you know, just has him in a situation where he has to find that again.
Yeah.
Maybe being aware, you know, she could see that he was in that more zero state and that this is what it looks like when he came out of it. So sometimes watching the horses helps us understand what that looks like in a nonverbal language, as well as the verbal language that might be going on in our heads.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's, you know, the the keynote of what we're saying about observing the horse is, yes, he had his head down. And then when she knocked, he pulled his head up so fast to the point where his forelock and his mane went up. It was like flying in the air, right? So it's like, when we are looking at a horse, like, can I discern by observation skills if this horse is in their zero or not? So facial features are a main point of seeing what the horse could be feeling in that moment. Wrinkles over the eyes. We call it a tented eye. It literally looks like a little peak of a tent, and there might be multiple wrinkles on the eyelid area. Or if their jaw is clamped. The throat latch is locked. You can see also in their jawline, like they're gritting their teeth, or they have a pinched chin. And, or they can have, we call it suck the lemon, their nostrils could be flared up and they also could be wrinkled. So just those are just a few markers just on their head, on their face, that can help you discern if the horse is in a state of stress or relaxation. And the speed in which they do an activity, how quickly do they move their head and neck in a gesture, posture, or a signal? Because that will be in that speed, you know, that can be, I am so stressed about this thing, or they can slowly lift up their head and be like, that was not stressful. And another key place that we do notice whether the horse is in a state of zero or not, to help us put all the puzzle pieces together, is what we call the jump up button, which is toward the back of the barrel. And so then what we can see there is if it's the area is tucked up. And if it's tucked up, then most of the time they're not breathing. And if we're not breathing, then we're not regulating, we're not in our parasympathetic nervous system. And also a great place to look is their tail. Similar, I'm sure a lot of us have seen a dog tuck their tail. Horses do the same thing if they're feeling unconfident or stressed, as well as the hind legs can be really close together. And also they could be tripoding, which would be them basically having one foot in front of the other. And also the front feet can also be clamped together as well. So those are all just some really broad spectrum areas in which you can start to put together, is my horse feeling stressed or are they feeling well-being and rest and repair? And also I just actually in my background, I just noticed Bo's chest. And that is another place that we can see if they have a collapsed chest, if the pectoral muscles are sucked in, or if they're out with, which would signify pride, similar to us. If we're not having well-being, we'll hunch our shoulders, we'll suck our chest in, and we'll feel collapsed versus I'm proud today, I'm feeling like Superman. So it's really neat to be able to like look at a horse to see how they could be feeling, as well as for ourselves. How are we clamping our jaw? That's one of my big moments of reflection for myself, is if I'm clamping my jaw.
Or holding our breath.
Yes.
And so many people, we hold our breath and we don't even realize it until we start to get a little bit hypoxic and we have to take a deep breath. And it doesn't have to be stress related. Sometimes we're just really super focused on a task, or somewhere that we're going, or we're sitting at our desk and doing our computer chores. And I find that that's a time actually when I find myself holding my breath. And so just becoming aware of that happening, we know that we can't be fully in zero. We might be super focused and processing and getting things done, but we're not really at zero if we're not breathing well.
Absolutely. It is so funny you say, holding your breath. I mean, I had a long time, like 20 plus years in the restaurant industry. And this industry is highly unpredictable. So therefore, what ends up happening? You hold your breath to manage the stress. And that was such a hard pattern for me to break. If I'm in a stressful situation, when in doubt, hold your breath. And to the point where I did do a little bit of a heart rate variability study on myself. And I know, I think PJ, you're also exploring the heart rate variability as well. And
yes.
In studying, what I did was I did timestamps of moment to moment changes. I wasn't filming myself, but I was like, okay, this time I'm going to go out to the horses. Okay, I switched gears. I'm going to start cooking. And so it was fascinating because I actually am a trained chef. I started in the restaurants when I was like 12 years old. So it's just something that I've always done. And then looking at my results from the HRV study is I was very dysregulated. And I'm like, oh my goodness, something that I'm good at and it's quick and easy for me. But I didn't realize it's the pattern of being under a state of low level of stress while doing that activity. So that was such a beautiful checkpoint for me, because therefore I can be like, okay, I'm getting ready to cook, make sure you breathe. So therefore I could go forward and not get dysregulated on something that I actually enjoy. But it was the association was with I'm working, it's stress.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I just had this, this thought. I know you speak frequently about your career in the restaurant industry. It's not unlike being in a kitchen is not unlike being in a barn. It's really not sometimes a safe place. You've got fire going. You've got small quarters and things cooking and knives that are sharp and people bustling around, and you don't want to get bumped when you're slicing something. So, and a lot of things can happen very quickly, can go really well, or one thing can happen that kind of wrecks the rest of the day. And it can be the same with horses, right? I mean, they're wonderful, beautiful, amazing, intelligent, feeling creatures. And sometimes a small thing can create a lot of chaos. And to be able to be flexible in our emotional state and processing small things in the moment so they don't become big things is why being at zero is so important. And we can't live there. I mean, it's not normal for our nervous system states to always, but we do strive to be in a focused, calm, and aware state as often as we can, because that's where we have the flexibility to be able to move quickly, problem solve in the moment. And horses do this, right? They're in the pasture. You have a sentry that if something is in the environment that is not in the norm and they need to alert the rest of the herd to that, whether it is danger or not, if it is, then the horses begin to move. And if they're not, they drop their head again and resume grazing or whatever quiet zero state they were in before. And that's where they want to be. But also, if they're not in a zero state, just like we sometimes are more dysregulated than we are regulated, they don't have the ability to respond appropriately. And then they react, they go into some type of fight or flight if they can't process what's going on in the moment. And then that's where they get hurt. That's where they run through a fence or they run over a post and, you know, get an injury. Somebody gets kicked, not in a part of conversation, but in an injury. And it's something to practice being able to be in a calm, focused state of zero for ourselves, but also in the presence of our horses, because it helps them to move into that and remain into it more often and for longer.
Yeah. And the words that have popped into my head while you were talking is to be a responder and not a reactor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's, you know, what we're trying to build with ourselves, which then relates to our horses, is when the snow falls off the roof,
yeah,
and of course you get that adrenaline rush, your horse gets that adrenaline rush, how do you respond and not react?
I think you have a really great, you were telling me about a Stephen Porges quote. Do you recall what that was?
Well, Stephen Porges is the inventor of the polyvagal theory. And there are a lot of great quotes. And the one that I think you're talking about, I don't have exactly in front of me, but there's this other one, because I think the way our conversation is going to roll is that we are going to end up talking about safety and protection messages about the environment with horses. And so, but this is about humans. And I find that this particular quote will kind of set us in the direction of going into how to help a horse be zero in most situations. So this, the quote goes, "The theory focuses us to question whether our society provides sufficient and appropriate opportunities to experience safe environments and trusting relationships."
Yeah. And you had said something earlier too. It's when we were talking previously, something like if when you show up to your horse and all you do are high energy activities, you have nothing to return to. So if we're bustling into the barn and we're tacking up quickly because our lesson starts in 5 minutes and it usually takes 7 minutes to tack up when we're already in da 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 da, yeah. And we're showing up in a high energy emotional state as well as physical state, we have nothing to go back to, yeah. And the horse doesn't have anything to go back to, and so we don't have that focused place of zero to meet. Laura, I really like that quote from Dr. Stephen Porges. Another one that I think fits in well is only when we're in a calm physiological state can we convey cues of safety to another. And that brings in the thought of our concept of chessboard or environment, especially from the horse's perspective, and how safety and protection messages are the first and foremost important thing to horses. They must feel safe in order to progress to whatever we're going to be doing with them, whether it's just grooming in the stall. A lot of horses don't feel safe in their own stall, or they don't feel safe having a person come in. So if we can offer some simple safety and protection messages, and I know we'll get into this in further podcasts and discussing terminology and concepts around that terminology, but if people are really interested in learning more right now, there are a lot of YouTube videos available. Sharon and Laura's books are available on many websites, including Amazon, and cover some of these topics we're talking about. But if we can offer some safety and protection messages, just walking into a stall with a horse, letting them know that we are showing up as a protector for them, they understand that we are accepting that role. There's some clarity. Oftentimes they will relax more into whatever we need to do with them in the stall, whether it's grooming or just dropping their hay and leaving. And then outside in larger areas, understanding their chessboard of environment and all the small things that go into building what that chessboard or environment is. Mm-hmm. It's the physical space. It's the geographic location. It's the any vehicles that are around. It's the dogs, the people, the fence line, safety objects within. The weather also is part of their environment. If they, you know, sense a storm coming, or if we have thunder happening and lots of wind, you know, that blows things around, that becomes quickly part of a horse's environment. And so that if we can remain in a state of zero ourselves and practice doing that in small ways, when we can be aware that we're coming out of a state of focus, calm, and awareness of zero, then we can more easily help ourselves maintain it, which helps the horse maintain it, because we feel to them. They sense us in the way we're feeling, not just the actions that we're taking, that we are in a state of zero and we are a good protector for them.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I was trying to think of what it would be, a simple thing or two that our listeners could apply, and, you know, not this, because it is a big, big thought of having zero, having calm, being aware of what's going on in your body, all of that. And one thing that you could try is when you get to the paddock door or the stall door or wherever the entrance is of where your horse is, and stopping and letting out a deep sigh.
Or three. Because yes. Sometimes it actually takes a few breaths for our heart rate to change. And you mentioned the heart rate variability for that to change. Mm-hmm. There are a few hacks, really. There are a few things that I have learned for myself that I know bring me back to a more calm state of zero, which helps me be able to focus on whatever else is going on at the moment that might have been the thing that brought me out of it. But if I can do a few things for myself, and a few of those things are, I will actually pick up one foot, put it down, heel, toe, pick up the other foot, put it down, heel to toe. And it physically grounds me, but it also helps to kind of reset my emotional state. It brings
rebalancing yourself.
It is rebalancing, right? Physically and emotionally. And I also kind of drop a little bit into what in horse speak we call our sit buttons, right? Yeah. You know, the backs of our legs, we kind of drop our pelvis just a little bit. And if you think of like a Tai Chi pose or a martial arts pose where you have your feet stance a little bit wider apart, you are well grounded, but you're also dropping your energy. So you're dropping your center of gravity a little bit, helps us be more physically and therefore emotionally balanced. And it's the same for the horses. So if we can model that for them, they're already paying attention to our body language. So we have a little bit of, while we're doing it for ourselves, we're hacking into their system, and they can offer them something to mirror, and then take 3 deep breaths. And we know that deep breathing resets our nervous system. It helps us to focus better. It helps us kind of come back to our processing abilities, as well as being a little calmer. And so those are hacks that I can do. And I found that I can do those not just with my horse, but even, you know, in traffic. You want to be careful of picking up one foot and putting it down. You don't want to hit the accelerator.
Indeed.
But just being mindful of this, this practice, you know, when people around me are not driving safely, I can drop into that and remain more focused while I'm driving. So, you know, being out in public with just people and not horses, I find a lot of opportunities to practice it. You know, waiting in the grocery store line.
Yeah, right.
All kinds of places to practice your zero. And I think for you guys out there, if you find you just begin to feel what it feels like to be coming out of being calm, being focused, and be aware of that. That's the first step, is just being aware that you're not, right? Yeah. And then what it feels like to do a few activities that help you bring that back. And I would like to mention, Laura, I know I think you would be able to put this at the bottom of our activity today. But Sharon did a meditation a long time ago, and it is on her YouTube channel. So Sharon Wilsey YouTube channel, and the title is Feeling Stressed Out, Horse Speak Meditation with Sharon Wilsey. And I have found that to be really, really helpful in finding some go-to hacks for myself, mm-hmm. Finding that place of what calm feels like. Because if we don't know what that feels like, we have a hard time getting back to it. And once we can model that for our horses, they can help understand in their own bodies what that feels like too. So I invite all of you out there to just go look up that YouTube video and practice that meditation. I think you're really going to like it.
Yeah. And with that meditation, you can watch the visual. It is a visual journey, as well as you could just have your eyes closed too, to be able to go internal and feel into the different suggestions that Sharon is offering during that meditation. And again, this is like the practice that we have with horse speak is to try to have a judgment-free zone. So you may be the type of person who's maybe like me, who I am Speedy Gonzalez, and it is so darn hard for me to sit still. And when I first started practicing meditation, I saw nothing. I saw black. I'm like, when are we going to be done with this damn activity? Because I need to be doing something else. And the more time that I've practiced shorter experiences, I mean, honestly, set a timer for a minute or even 30 seconds to just shut down and just practice this pausing inside of yourself. It's changed my world 100%. Yeah. I'm so happy that I just have stuck to this practice. And it is another one of our mottos, is it's progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
Don't put a ton of weight on yourself to be like, I can't meditate, it's so crazy. Again, just like the littlest thing, And again, having that moment of like, okay, I'm going to do an inventory of my day. And I'm going to think about what do I think could stress me out? What activities? And they could be the craziest activities. Like you can't find a matching sock. Like, you know, like who knows? Like all this stuff. And then think about, okay, so I know that this activity is going to stress me out. How can I prepare myself for that activity? So again, like showing up to your horse, you could listen to Sharon's meditation beforehand and just be like, I'm going to do this meditation and then I'm going to go see my horse. Or you arrive at the barn, or if it's at your house, take a walk, because walking can be regulating. Yeah. To then be like, okay, I think I'm ready now to go and be with my horse.
Yeah.
So it's showing your horse that you are practicing this activity of having awareness. And as you can, the evolution of learning horse speak, then we do have specific gestures, postures, and signals that we can relay to the horse that can help them also have some regulation and an elasticity in their nervous system. So then if they do get stressed out, then you can be like, hey, I can put my hand up as high as your head to symbol a head and circle it 3 times and bring my hand slowly down and breathe out to say, let's let go of that tension. And that is a suggestion. It's not a command. It's like, I'm showing you, I see your head is high. Let's try to lower that intensity. So that's one of the things that I think through understanding horses from their perspective, from the horse speak perspective, is that we're not doing cues and commands. It is, I suggest, could you lower your head? I suggest, hey, can you please bring your cheek, neck, and shoulder to me? So we're going to be talking about these different topics as well in the future of the podcast. And like PJ said, thank you for the plug, PJ. You can check out our books and the DVD, and we have online learning and things of that nature to really dive deep into the details of what we're offering with horse speak. Because, I mean, the rabbit holes are endless.
They are so endless.
They are.
I appreciate your I appreciate your sock story, in that sometimes it's the small things that bring us out, but these are the places where we can practice becoming aware of that, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to be clear that meditation helps us to find that place of zero, but zero is not meditation. It's not in a meditative state. It's really being, it's being very aware, but it's
active
being
awareness.
Active awareness. I have a 2-second story. My daughter was in high school, and she was famous for wearing mismatched socks to school. And one of her friends called her out on it one day, and she said, your socks don't match. And she said, yes, they do. I have another pair at home exactly like them. So she remains very zero in that moment.
Yes.
Called out for mismatched socks. And, you know, you bring good points to maybe doing this meditation or listening to a few minutes of it before you go to your horse. Before we moved to our current place in Colorado, my horse was boarded at a lovely, lovely barn, and the barn didn't have stress, but I had stress leaving work and getting to the barn to see my horse. So I was usually, you know, sometimes I would have an hour or so to go in the middle of the day, but I would leave work, go to be with my horse, and then have to leave my horse to go back to work. And I made a practice of, there were 2 stone pillars going up the gravel lane from the roadway to the barn. And I made a practice of, I left everything that wasn't related to my barn, my horse and the barn, at the other side of those stone pillars. And so I would take a moment driving in my car, and have a breath, recoup myself, think forward positive to how I wanted my time with my horse to be, and really leave the bag of garbage on the outside. And I could pick up the bag of garbage again as I left if I needed to, start thinking about work on my way back to work. But I really made this practice of finding my zero and doing my best to maintain it, no matter what new things were going to be going on with my horse or at the barn space. But I was just going to be there at that moment and not have a lot of other stuff with me, mentally, emotionally. So that was really helpful. And I think that was around the time where we were starting our practitioner program and really talking about the concept of zero, of what it is, what it isn't. It's not meditation. It's really being aware and being able to be focused in that awareness so that you can pivot and navigate and be flexible in what you need to do and process in the moment and not get in a dysregulated state along with your horse's level of anxiety. You can really help them bring that back. And so that was one thing that really helped me a lot, is pausing at those stone pillars and leaving stuff on the backside of the barn space. So you also mentioned HRV a moment ago. I'm currently in an HRV study. I'm part of a control group for a study that involves wearing an HRV monitor. And so I can tell you folks out there that these hacks really do work. These settling in, grounding in your feet, settling in your sit buttons, taking several deep breaths, and it's usually minimally 2 to 3 for me. But as I'm wearing the HRV monitor, and I can feel, just because part of this is bringing better self-awareness, as I can feel my sense myself coming out of a place of being zero, and then my monitor alarm haptic goes off and I'm validated that, oh yes, I was. And I know that by grounding myself, by thinking a thought of being in a place of safety and a place of joy and having gratitude and taking a few deep breaths brings me right back. And it's, I can tell you for a fact, scientifically, because I'm wearing the monitor, it can be, if you practice this, it can be a matter of seconds. And of course, if something large happens and it's more dysregulating, it takes longer for you to kind of re-regulate from that. But the pieces and parts are already there.
Because it is a practice, right? Like
it's absolutely a practice. I wanted to tell a quick story, Laura, if I could. We're talking about here is really we're talking a little bit about the not fun parts of dysregulation, but losing your zero can also happen because of great joy or great excitement, right? I had a situation last summer. I live off a dirt road, here in Colorado. And on one of my 5 mile walks that I was doing, I passed this lovely herd of Appaloosa. I'm pretty sure they were all geldings. I saw them from a distance most of the time. They were really big pasture. And so I made it a practice of when I would walk by them every morning to greet from afar and to do an ICU message, which is really just scanning over their buttons, witnessing, letting them know that we as the human are aware of them as the horse, as an individual. And so I would do that. I would just air greet from, and I'm talking about like several hundred yards away, not 30 feet. Yeah. And doing hand gesture of, I see all your buttons. Like if we're looking at the screen behind you, Laura, this where all Beau's buttons are, we just kind of start at the face or the cheek buttons and scan all the way back, and then all the way back to the front. And it is a gesture that emulates gestures that horses do for each other. So this is not, you know, hand waving or magic wanding or anything like that. We're using our own nonverbal language to say something to the horse that means something to them because it's emulating their language. So there was one day I was walking, and there was definitely a protector, mentor gelding in the herd. He took his role very seriously, and he always kept his horses like far from the fence line when I would go up to perhaps see if they could come closer. And there was one day where I really had the attention of his subjects with his two horses in his herd, and they got very curious and they came over to the fence line to greet, and he came walking behind and kind of cut them off and came around them to be between them and me at the fence line. And so this is probably like the fifth or sixth or seventh time that I got their attention, but I was never, you know, in my own little game that I was playing successful in getting them to come to the fence line for a touch greeting. Well, they did this day almost. And so the mentor protector gelding came into the fence line ahead of them. And I started to get like really excited because It's like, oh my goodness, it's taken me 5 or 6 or 7 times to see if I could get them to be curious enough to come over. Not, they didn't need to, and I didn't need them to do it, but it was just fun to play with my horse speak language skills to see if I could actually say to these horses who were a little cautious that they were safe enough to come to the fence line. So he came in to me, brought his muzzle like through the wire fencing, and almost came in for a touch greeting. And I remember my feeling escalating, and I was so happy and excited.
It's like,
oh my gosh, it's happening. It's happening. He's going to touch greeting. And he looked at me out of the corner of his eye and he went, nope. Uh-huh. And he nosed his other two horses off and he went, this person is not at zero and we are not staying here because it does not feel safe. And it wasn't because I wasn't anxious. I was joyful, excited, but it was too much. And it was a loss of zero. Uh-huh. It was a loss of, it was on the, you know, the arc of happy, joyous, but it was still, I lost zero. And I think, Laura, you have a similar story, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I love that because it is that zing, that zesty and swirly, I call it swirly energy that can happen when there is that flood of excitement. And I have this experience where we were in Northern Germany and we were visiting a wild tarpon herd. And I had this beautiful experience with this mare. And I was doing a thing called rock the baby, which basically I use rock back and forth, like as if you were holding a baby in your hips and just, you know, everything's chill, everything's relaxing, breathing, blinking. You know, that's one of the other things to notice if you're wanting to have awareness of your zero is, are you blinking? Are you blinking? Are you breathing? Are you gritting your jaw? So with that being said, so this baby, she was probably, you know, maybe under 2 years old. She laid down and it was like 10 feet away from me. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I decided to sit down and just have a nice moment with this horse. And again, a wild horse. And then, and I was doing some licking and chewing. So I'm not a biter. I'm blinking and breathing. And she was like, wow, you're really interesting, and decided to come up to me. And I did actually stay seated, and I had to keep my belly button off of the conversation. And she comes over to me, and in my mind, I'm like, it's happening. And I did the same exact thing that PJ did, was I got too zingy internally. So I was in this like really chill state. And then all of a sudden, bam. The lightning went off inside of my body and she was like, bye. And it was like, I think I'm assuming, but I know for myself, that one experience, like it changed my life.
Yes.
100%. Cause I'm like, I did that. I just totally sparked my energy and caused that mare who had trusted me so much to run away from me. And it was like, wow, never again. It was just like, yeah, excitement is not like that. It's
not focused calm. It's happy. It's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's too much.
Yeah. And that's just the like, if it's a spark, if it's just like all of a sudden you're like zing, then there's such a dramatic change in your HRV, then that is getting relayed to the horse or to the person. We can also zap each other with our energy in that way too, whether it's out of zest of happiness or out of anger, that energy can pop off of us and, you know, hit the other nervous system. So it's really, you know, there's so much I want to talk about actually within this topic, and because of just different nuances that people can be aware of. And I think, you know, the breathing, the three breaths, and I, for me in that breath work, it's so weird that we say breath work, but the breath practice is, I've noticed for myself that I have to sigh. If I'm going to breathe out, I need to, because the feeling I have within my body is actually, I can feel this like drop. It's funny, like this, almost a sensation that goes into my pelvis versus if I just blow out, like blowing out candles, it's more up in my head, versus this dropping of the energy into my pelvis. So for me, it was this an interesting thing to notice the difference. And I can see the difference in with the horses too. If I'm doing, because sometimes if we do that breath out, like blowing out a candle, we can be gritting our teeth at the same time, which therefore is a mixed message. It's still giving stress message by accident to the horse. And you spoke about this, like being in the stall and how navigating with a horse in the stall can also be a stressful thing for us. We could maybe feel nervous about entering in the stall. So one of the things that we talk about in the, that actually got taken out of the book, out of the first book, but is so important, is to get ready to go into the stall. And it's for yourself, but also for the horse. And what we do is open the latch, just the latch, three times, open and close it, open, close, open, close, open, close, and then have that breath out. And even if it's just one breath, then it's like ready, set, go. I'm ready, horse is ready. And usually it's fascinating to watch a horse when you do this, because by the third time they have gotten interest. Like, what are you doing? That's really interesting. And so therefore, you know, being in a small space with a horse can hijack your energy. It can, because their nervous system is bigger than our nervous system. And then they, if they're having a low level of stress, you might also all of a sudden feel stressed out. And you're like, wait a minute, that's weird. I wasn't feeling this way before. And so one of the things that we also have our students practice, which is a fascinating experience, I think, is to work with this concept we call is reverse round pen. And so basically, say your horse is out in the field, having a nice day eating grass, and you show up and you decide that you're going to approach the horse and you're going to actually do a zigzag pattern, not beeline right to the horse. I'm walking to you. You're going to zigzag. And as you're doing that, you can have your palm up toward the horse and just be like, as a message of like, I'm here. This is my bubble at the edge of my palm. And I'm going to go and approach your bubble of personal space. And so as you're zigzagging, you on each turn, you're pausing. So you walk one direction, turn, pause, walk that other direction, turn, pause. And you switch your hands. So your palm is always, don't cross in front of you. Your palm should always be easily toward the horse. And what you're doing is you're opening up your observation skills as well to notice if your horse puts their head up, if their ear moves, if their tail swishes, any kind of skin movement. We call it a twiggle, which is a twitch wiggle of the skin. So what you're noticing is when you reach the edge of the bubble. And some horses have a bubble that's 30 feet away, some maybe even 10 feet. So it's slowing down your approach to see what you see in those moments, as well as if you notice yourself too. Because as you become more aware of your zero, then you can actually notice your nervous system connecting with the other nervous system, which is fascinating, and it's such a beautiful experience to have awareness of. And so what you're basically doing when you notice that you've reached a point where the horse maybe have switched their tail, did an ear on you or whatever, you pause and take three steps away. And then what is really fun to do is walk around your horse, and you don't want anything from them. You're just walking in a nice rhythmic pattern with your palm toward them. And you're like, I hope you're having a nice day. I'm just going to walk around you. I don't want anything from you. And there could be a moment, whether you're at the, whatever part of the body, they could have put their head up again and be like, oh, your hind end. Oh, that part of you is bigger. That bubble part is bigger. Let me take three steps away again. And it's just an interesting experiment to try with your horse, because each horse gives you a different response. And then also noticing the changes within yourself to see of like, oh, I actually stopped breathing when I reached the edge of the bubble when my horse tail switched. It's like, oh boy, I need to actually for myself take three steps away.
And that's maintaining your zero. It's becoming aware, and it's maintaining safety, and it's maintaining the conversation with the horse about zero and safety, which is where it's all at. Everything must start there. And we're kind of right back to the beginning, right? of why it's important. It's awareness, focus, calm, and it's to be able to have a place with our horse where we can have conversations and problem solve together, because both of us are able to be focused and thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with that being said, I think it's time for us to finish up today, because we could just keep going and going with many of the topics that we talk about with Horse Speak, because there's so much information that we want to offer you. So if you want to check out our website, we have SharonWilsey.com. You can visit our online learning platform at horsespeakacademy.com. Everything is intermingled, so you can navigate through our multiple websites that we have. You can check out our books, as PJ does have them displayed. You can get them on our website as well as on the Amazon. So we're grateful that it is there. And you can listen to our podcast. You can subscribe to Sharon Wilsey, like this video, subscribe to us on our podcast platforms on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you for listening. And we invite you to imagine that you could have the tools to resolve challenges with your horse from their perspective with precise communication that will create a mutually consistent, safe, an enduring relationship. So we hope you enjoy your day. Take care and be well.